This is Radharasura Niti. We're continuing verse 62, which describes the supreme sadhana, and also we heard many of the glories of Radharani's form, her beautiful face, and her beautiful words, and the effulgence, the beauty of Radharani's face, and the beauty of her radiant, effulgent body have been mentioned here, and how she's has a special mood of being a Sri Vrindavana Kunja Manju Grihini. She's a Grihini. She behaves sometimes when she's in a particular Nayaka Bhav, the loving mood of a transcendental heroine or beloved. It's called Vasika Sajika, where she's eagerly anticipating the arrival of her lover, and waiting in the kunja, in the forest bower, love bower, and she decorates everything very nicely, personally, with her own hands, to greet her lover. So we heard that she's a charming Grihini. So the verse concludes, after glorifying Radharani's form and her qualities and her activities, this is 62, Lavan, Lavanyamritavartaya jagadidam samplavayanti sharad rakka chandramanantameva vadana jyotsnabir atanvatihi Sri Vrindavana kunja manju grihini kapyasti tuchamaho Kurvan akila sadhya sadhana katam dattva sva dasyotsavam. We touched on it briefly in the beginning of this class a couple of days ago in verse 62 of Radharasura Niti, how this highest fortune of attaining the direct service of Srimati Radharani as her handmaiden, Kinkari, maidservant, or dasi, is the greatest of all possible spiritual attainments. And the way to attain that, the abhideya, or the abhyas, or the practice, the sadhana, that also is the topmost of all sadhanas. So this sadhana, this mantri srup sadhana, or this raganuga bhakti, mantri bhav, Upasana, Madhurya Mahi Manjari Bhava Upasana, this type of worship in the mood of this loving mood of lovers, Krishna and his gopis, Gopi Bhav, eternally liberated divine consorts like Radharani, Lalita, and all the gopis assisting them like Rupa Manjari and Rati Manjari. This is, of course, that path of sadhana, that marg, that bhakti marg, that is the is also the greatest. And any other type of sadhana, at least in the consideration of Prabodhananda Saraswati, any other practices of sadhana which will lead to unlimited varieties of specified goals or sadhyas, prayojanas, they are compared to this sadhana, which I mentioned, and Rag Marg, and this goal of Radha Dasyam and Radha's eternal service, they are all insignificant. Insignificant. He uses a very powerful and forceful Sanskrit adjective, tuchavam. He says, tuchavam aho. Aho, listen, aho, listen, it's amazing. Aho, tucham. Kurvan akila akila sadhya sadhana katam. All, listen, every other form of sadhana and sadhya, practice and goal, endeavor and attainment, is simply tuchavam, insignificant, if compared to this. Compared to itself, or compared to material life of birth and death and misery. Any spiritual practice is, of course, good and beneficial and recommended for the adherents of those paths. It's like Krishna says in Gita, better than the materialist is the jnani. And better, because the jnani is trying to get liberated. Dharmart ka moksh, by following the path of jnana marg or yoga or meditation. So he's much better than the fruitive worker or the karmi. But even Krishna says higher or more developed in consciousness and possessing a higher aspiration is the bhakta who wants to attain ayodhya and love of Ram as a Ramdas and Ram Sita Dasi, or he wants to attain Vishnu Loka, Narayan Loka, Vaikuntha, Mukti Prapti. He wants to attain Vaikuntha and any of the various Ishtadevs of the Lord residing in the various Vaikuntha planets, Ram, Vishnu, Nisringa, Jagannath, etc. Brihad Bhagavatamritam says that Lord Jagannath, you can see there, Sanatan Goswami is describing that Lord Jagannath has his own separate planet in Vaikuntha, Purushottam Kshetra. And Gopa Kumar, who is the main character in that philosophical spiritual odyssey, of Gopa Kumar traveling through all the different planes of existence, continually chanting his Gopal mantra and continually hankering for the darshan and loving embrace and seva of his desirable ishta named Madan Gopal, Krishna in Vrindavan, the beautiful coward boy. So he went everywhere, and as he went different places, they said, oh, you've just come from Purushottam Kshetra. You see on the earth planet. Well, also here in Vaikuntha, you can see over there. That's also Purushottam. That's also the residence of Jagannath here in Vaikuntha. So that point is established. So, of course, all of these paths, all spiritual sadhanas and all spiritual goals are good. But when we compare it to what Lord Chaitanya came to give, no one has ever given such a gift before. It's very appropriate that when Srila Prabhupada, the ISKCON founder, when he went to New York and started his movement of Pravachan and Kirtan and his mission to preach and convert Christians and Western people to the Sanatan Dharma, the Vedic view, this Krishna Bhakti, Krishna consciousness, he rented a small storefront to make a center, a base, to preach Krishna consciousness. And the previous owners of that store was a gift shop. They were selling gift items, and they apparently closed that business. There was a big sign in front of the store on 2nd Avenue in Manhattan, New York City. It said, Matchless Gifts. Matchless. Atul means no comparison. Atul. Matchless Gifts. So Prabhupada was certainly out from that storefront. He was distributing matchless gifts. Incomparable, most invaluable gift of Krishna Bhakti and Krishna Prem and Bhakti Sadhana and Bhakti Yoga. This Nam Sankirtan, the gift of Nam Sankirtan, the gift of Radha and Krishna's eternal seva, and the gift of attaining perfection in Goloka Vrindavan, and the gift of realizing and attaining one's eternal spiritual form to lovingly serve Radha and Krishna. All these gifts he was giving, basically, that was couldn't be a better name, because Gauranga Mahaprabhu, every day of Brahma or every Kalpa, whatever it is, after so many millions and millions of years, Krishna comes to this world. And right after Krishna leaves, a few thousand years later, and the same yuga, practically same period, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahayanya, the combined form of Radha Krishna Milatam, yuga, they descend as Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So Gauranga Mahaprabhu came into this world to give a matchless gift, something that hasn't been given for a long time, chiracharam, for a long, long time. No one has given this gift of Manjri Babu Pasana, or Gopi Baba Angikara. Krishna's Kaviraj explains that Lord Chaitanya came, and that when he's describing the various purposes, he wanted everyone to accept Gopi Baba Angikara. So whomever he preached to, whomever he discussed with practically, at least those that accepted him intimately and came close to him, they all adopted this line of bhajan, sarana, and sadhya. So he says that everything else is insignificant, so we can just look at that a little bit. Now, this is the third point of the verse about Radha's seva. So the service of Srimati Radhika, Radha Dasyam, become her dasi, is the supreme goal, sadhya, of all possible spiritual practices, sadhana. To see Radharani as, to actually see Radharani, everyone sees Radharani in the temple or in paintings or in their internet or telephones, they see various paintings, or even you can see Radharani in maybe films, I don't know. There may be films of Vrindavan Leela, I can't say. But there has been this animations, like with like this one called, one very famous one, where Krishna's a young coward boy, little Krishna, something like this. And there Krishna's playing with his boyfriends, and then Radharani comes, and Lita, and they're like little girls. So you can see and see Radharani and hear her speak. So everyone has some different impression from what they've seen or how they've experienced Radharani. They have some different heart impression or mental visual impression, or maybe what they've read or pictures and paintings they've seen and books and on the internet. But here, Sripad Prabodhananda Saraswati, he's explaining the kind of vision he's having from his vantage point of being the most elevated, pure, transcendental devotee of Radha and Krishna. And he's there in service, in Radha Dasyam, as a Manjari Dasi of Radharani, and seeing how Radharani is this Sri Vrindavana Kunja Manjo Grihini, very charming and lovely goddess and queen of the love bowers of Vrindavan, the forest bowers. So he's bathing, his eyes are seeing Radharani acting like this and moving around in the kunj like this, and with her own delicate lotus bud hands, decorating the kunj for the pleasure of her divine lover, Nagarendra Shamsundar. And then he's appreciating the beauty of Radharani's divine form at this moment, how her radiant face, her Lavanya Amrita, and Varan, and the whole while he's serving, he or rather she is serving Swamini's every wish and want, which is the topmost goal of all paths of enlightenment. When one follows the path of Raghunuga Sadhana with this end in his mind and heart, in other words, if one adopts this idea that this is the sadhana that I want to practice, that I want to, I have some attraction and interest in worshipping Radha and Krishna, and especially I'm attracted to Srimati Radharani. I don't know how or why, but somehow I'm very attracted to her beauty, her sweetness, her qualities of compassion, and her qualities of sweetness and humor, and her whole, the whole mood that Radharani represents, what I've heard and what I read in Shastra, is that she's so surrendered to Krishna, and she's so dedicated to his happiness and his pleasure at every moment, because she's Aradhanam, Radha. She's the greatest of all possible devotees of Krishna, and everyone in Vrindavan is a devotee of Krishna, and we want to be devotees of Krishna also. We're Krishna devotees. Krishna Das or Krishna Dasi, or Radha Dasi and Krishna Das. So that is everyone's goal. So then when we hear about Radharani, we think, wow, she's the greatest devotee. And we hear so much in Srila Prabhupada's books, he says that, establishes that point, that Radharani's the greatest devotee. And we can't, who are we? And what is our qualification? And what love do we have for Krishna? And what qualification do we have to serve or please Krishna? But Radharani has it all, as they say. She has all the beauty to satisfy Krishna's every sense. And she has all the talents and all the moods of surrender and dedication, absolute dedication that we'll never have probably, or at least someday we'll have, to really please and serve and satisfy Krishna. Therefore, don't try to serve Krishna directly, but go to Radharani, Prabhupada tells us. You pick a flower, offer it to Radharani, because then Krishna will accept it. Because Krishna accepts offerings from a pure hand and a pure heart. This is established in the Bhagavad Gita, maybe it's 9th chapter, 26th verse. It says, Patram pushpam phalam toyam, yo me bhaktya prayachati, taraham bhakti parita, ashnami paritatmaha. And this word, paritatmaha, it means that not only Krishna will accept, he says two times, he says, I will accept, if you offer me something, it can be very insignificant. It can be very small and not even cost anything. You can offer me a tulsi leaf, patram, pushpam. You can offer me a flower, wherever here and there you find a flower, a leaf, a flower, some fruit, if you have some money to buy a fruit or you have a fruit tree, or some water. You offer me with love and I'll accept it. But then he says again, and it must be, he says, bhakti aparitam and prayatatmaha. So this word prayatatmaha, and Sridhar Swami's commentaries, and Gita, and Vishwanath, and Jiva, others, they're saying that this means one must be pure. That Krishna will accept, not okay, we're all devotees, but one must be pure, which means not only as pure as possible in his mind, but his body should be pure and he should have clean clothes. So when we make an offering, it's not like, you know, we're cooking or we pass stool and then we wash our hands and then we go cook an offering, you know, at home. And we don't bathe because it's cold, it's winter, or we're sick. Of course, that may be an exception if we're sick to some extent. Or we're in a hurry or too lazy, whatever. So then we just wear the same old clothes and we go in the kitchen and cook. And then we go and offer, put tulsi and purify the items with water, Ganga Jal Jumuna. Chant the appropriate mantras and make offering to Krishna, then give his remnants to Radha and down to Guru and like this. That is not prayatatmaha. That is aparad. That is seva aparad. Murti seva aparad. It's an offense in the service because we're not pure. Prayatatmana means we should be pure. Okay, we're not pure devotees. That's a given. That's a given that everyone knows without anyone telling them or them telling themselves. So the pure in this case means, okay, now this is, I'm going to cook an offering. This is a special thing. You know, maybe, and shed clean clothes for that. Take a bath. It's any type of activity, any auspicious activity that one is going to engage in, his body and clothes and the asana should be clean and pure. Even in the basic activities of the material world, before one eats, then he washes his hands, feet, mouth. And the Ayurveda says that you should wash five things or parts of your body, two hands, two feet and mouth before you eat, or let's say honor prasadam. And this way, this is called clean, because you're approaching Krishna. And even, as I said, in the mundane sphere, in the material sphere of hygiene and laws, Vedic laws governing, say, grihastha life. So if a husband and wife want to produce a child, they are supposed to take a bath and clean clothes. And many things are described there for the grihastha section to follow. But the keynote here is cleanliness, purity. Purity of the body, and ultimately purity of mind and consciousness, everywhere ensures the greatest result in whatever activity we do. If we're producing children, then we have a pure body, pure clothes, clean body and clothes, and a clean and pure and elevated mind and consciousness. Then when the husband and wife combine, a very high-class jiva will come there to take birth of similar consciousness. Like attracts like. A wife of high consciousness and pure devotional mood combining with a similar husband will attract a jiva with this type of inherent sanskaras and qualities. So what to speak of cooking and offering for the Lord, which we do so much, because we eat a lot. We eat at least twice, thrice or more per day. And so haphazardly, we think it's a grand achievement if we can somehow offer it. Somehow offer the food and somehow put a tulsi leaf on it. And, I offered it. It's a major revolution. But actually, there's more to it than this. So cleanliness, as everyone must have heard, I don't know about your particular languages, but in English they have a phrase, cleanliness is next to godliness. Sattva. Sattva Rajantama. So this is the highest path. So when one follows this path of Ragnuga Sadhana with this end in his mind and his heart, and as Sripad is saying, then he thinks, Aho Tuchavat. Aho Tuchavat Akila Sadhana Satya. Akila means all the different paths. That Tuchavat means, I don't care a fig. They're insignificant. They're all insignificant. Somehow I've received this great fortune by the mercy of Mahaprabhu. And some alaukik love, some transcendental greed, divine greed is awoken in me by the mercy of advanced devotees, rasik Vaishnavas, from this life or last life. By their sangha and by their kripa and mercy, I become attracted to this. I don't even know how or why. Maybe carried over from last life, and then we grow up at a very early age or at some point in our devotional development, our mind and heart run towards Radha and Krishna, for example, and this Gaudiya Sampradaya. And then we're very interested in all the topics and all the deities of Radha and Krishna and their pastime places. So this is the basic beginning of Raghunuga Bhakti, is this greed for the mood and love and seva and association and place of the Ragatmika Bhaktas of Braj, the Brajajanas, the eternal associates of Radha and Krishna, Vrindavan, Nanda Baba, Yashoda, Raktak, Patrak, Dhanishta, all the different servants of Krishna, then Alita, Vishaka, Radha, Krishna Balaram, Sridham, Subal, and the various ratis and rasas. Then we run. So then we think, how much fortune I've received. By Guru's grace, by Vaishnava's grace, my mind and heart are pulling me in this direction. Automatically. It's not, Prabhupada used the word spontaneously. It's not spontaneous like there's some gasoline and you throw a match on it. You say petrol. Throw some petrol on, and boom, it just spontaneously, combustion, spontaneous combustion means it instantly blows up. It's not the beginning of Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti is not a spontaneous combustion. It's not that one day you're practicing Vaidhi Sadhana and boom, now I'm... It's not exactly, it may never happen like that. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna's Kaviraj says, one may carry on and practice Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti for thousands of lifetimes. And if he continues that way, then he can attain Vaikuntha. But he cannot attain Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna and Radha and Vrindavan, unless he follows the Brijvasis. This was the path shown by the greatest knowers of the Vedas, the greatest rishis and munis of all time, known as the Shrutis, Shrutidharas. The personified Vedas, they followed the gopis. And from the beginning in Treta Yuga, they saw Ramchandra. And by seeing Sita and Ram, they developed these conjugal feelings, this loving mood of a husband and wife towards Ram. And they expressed that mentally. And he said, he blessed them, Tatastu. when I come as Krishna, then you can be my wives. So then they came to Braj, they were sadhana siddhas. They attained perfection by sadhana. What sadhana? Raghunuga bhakti. They followed the gopis of Vrindavan. And then Lakshmi Devi, Lakshmi Devi is from Vaikuntha, Narayan's Patni. She tried to attain Radha and Krishna Vrindavan, but she couldn't. She was practicing Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, Vishnu Smaranam, Krishna Smaranam, but not following the gopis, not surrendering to the gopis, not following Rag Marg. So she did not attain Radha and Krishna Vrindavan. She attained a forest, Balvan, Srivan, on the other side of the Yamuna. So she came from Vaikuntha, and she ended in Vaikuntha. So we're discussing how, and Sripad is saying that Akila Sadhana Sadhya Tuchavat, that all the possible, any kind of sadhana and sadhya you can conceive of practicing, or any goal you can hope to attain, it's insignificant when you compare it to serving Radharani's lotus feet as her dasi in Manjari Bhav or Kinkari Bhav, which is the, kind of the conclusion after of this verse 62. And of course, he's trying to encourage everyone about this point. So to attain Sri Radha's eternal loving service in the charming bowers of Vrindavan, she's so beautifully described here as Sri Vrindavan Kunja Manjul Grihini. Grihini means housewife, but it means the lovely goddess of the Kunjas. So in Ramananda Samvad, that's of course in Madhya Lila chapter 8, Lord Chaitanya asks, what is the ultimate goal of life, which makes all other goals insignificant? Because this verse is talking about sadhya. Sadhya means goal, attainment, objective. What is the objective? We ask someone, what are you doing? I'm practicing sadhana bhakti. What do you want? I want to go back to Godhead. People say, I want to go back home, or I want to go back to Godhead. So the idea is, I want to go to a place, the Dham, the spiritual world, but what do you want to do there? Well, I want to attain Krishna Prem. Whether I go here or there, it doesn't matter. Because that's Lord Chaitanya's teaching us. He's telling us the goal is Prema. And Prabhupada is encouraging us, just get out of this consciousness, get out of this enjoying consciousness, get out of this material consciousness and world, and go there to the Goloka, the spiritual world. And then, but everywhere, Prabhupada is also telling, the goal of human life is prema, Krishna prema. So our goal is prema, whether we take birth again or not, it doesn't matter. Because if you're in prema, then you're in the spiritual world, because the world, it's a world, we say world, but actually it's consciousness. That's why Prabhupada says Krishna consciousness. It's a plane of consciousness. So when one attains purity in mind and heart, and actually attains bhava and prema and bhakti, which is the ultimate attainment, then he doesn't feel that I'm not in the material world. He's called liberated. He's actually jivan mukta siyuchate. Said iha yasya harer dasye karmana manasagira. Says jivan mukta siyuchate, that he's all his karmas, all his prabda and aprabda and kutam and bijam, all of his karmas, anything that's material about him has been eliminated. And he, she, whomever, they are in divine consciousness. They are in pure Krishna consciousness. So the Bhagavatam is saying they're jivan mukta. They are already liberated. They're in the body, but they're liberated souls. So if they're liberated, it means they're free. They're not here. This is a place of bondage. Janma Mrityu. So if they're liberated means freed from one thing. Someone ties you up, and then what does it mean to liberate you? It means they untie you and you have freedom of movement. So when you're liberated, then you go to the Dham, the Param Dham. So even when they're here in this world, they're living in that consciousness. They're living in the spiritual world. So prema is our goal. So this is the topmost goal. So Lord Chaitanya is echoing the same point, because Sripad Prabhavananda Saraswati, and all of our acharyas, they take their lead, they get the foundation of all the philosophy, it's Gaudiya Siddhanta. It comes from the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and his inspiration, his empowerment, has enabled all of our Mahajans and Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas to write the books they wrote, and to give the teachings they gave, and to live the lives they've lived as examples and directions and guides for us to attain spiritual perfection in the eternal service of Radha and Krishna Vrindavan. So when Lord Chaitanya said, there's so many goals of life, so many goals of sadhana, so many types of sadhana, which one is the best? And what does he say? Radhara prema sadhya shiromani mahima sarva shastrete vakani. Sarva shastrete vakani. The vakya, shastra. All the shastras are saying, what are they saying? Radha prem sadhya shiromani mahima. This is Radha prem. Love of Radharani is the crown jewel of all goals of human life, proclaimed by all the scriptures. So our God is Radha and Krishna in the form of Mahaprabhu. And so God is asking on the behalf of all living entities, because people often say they come to a spiritual movement or they meet some devotees and they say, oh, I'm confused. We often hear this word, I'm confused. ever feel confused? So they say, I'm confused. There's so many gurus and there's so many paths and there's so many movements and so many institutions and so many books, and everyone is saying theirs is the best, I should go there and go here. I'm confused. I don't know which way to go. So Lord Chaitanya, he's saying clearly, as far as he's concerned, this is the Siddhanta, this is the Param Gati and the Param Sadhya, the topmost supreme goal for Gaudiya Vaishnavas. So being a Gaudiya Vaishnava, as we all are, or trying to become, then we should identify with this conclusion, because when Ramananda Roy gave this answer, Lord Chaitanya said, yes, this is right. But when Ramananda Roy gave other answers to his questions, Gauranga's questions, then Lord Chaitanya said, no, this is wrong, go higher. At one point he was discussing, in their discussions, Ramananda Samvad, Lord Chaitanya said, how do you attain the goal of life? And Ramananda Roy said, oh, karma samarpan. You should offer the Lord the results of your karma, samarpan. And then Lord Chaitanya heard that answer. He said, no, I reject this. This is not, go higher, tell me more. And then he said, oh, what is the path? What path should we follow to attain perfection? Then he said, oh, we should do nishkam bhakti. And Lord Chaitanya said, no, this is not. This is okay, but you must go higher. I don't accept this. Then he said, "Sarva." He quotes Gita. He says, "Sarva dharman prityaja mamekam sharanam braja." We should surrender everything and just surrender everything to Krishna and depend on him and be fearless. Lord Chaitanya said, no, this is external. Go higher than this. So even the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita, this is in Ramananda Samvag, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 8. Lord Chaitanya said, no, higher. Then he said, oh, the way to attain the goal of life is higher than surrender, is to follow the Brijvasis and Ragmarg, the Ragatmikas, as Krishna's servants or Krishna's friends. And it goes higher and higher. And finally, it comes to the idea of worshipping and serving the Brijvasis, the Ragatmika Janas of Vrindavan, and especially coming to all the way to serving Radha and Krishna. So here he's saying, what is the ultimate goal of life that makes all other goals insignificant? Which is exactly what this verse 62 is saying. What is the ultimate goal of life which makes all other goals? All other goals means akila or sarva. Akila sadhya, akila sadhan. All other goals. So Sripad Prabhupada Sarasvati, who is an eternal associate of Radha Govinda and Gauranga, he's saying the same thing. All their goals and all their sadhanas are tuchavam. They're insignificant when compared to this. What is that? And that's the answer Ramananda Roy gave. Radhara prema sadhya shiromani mahima sarva shastrete vakani. The crest jewel of all sadhyas. Sadhyas means goal. The crest jewel of all goals is the love of Radharani. Radhara prema. Radhara prema sadhya shiromani mahima sarva shastrete vakani. This